Hello, everyone. Michael Jans here, the Partnership Engagement Manager with the Alberta Mentoring Podcast. I'm excited to share with you an interview that we just finished with Tracy Lockhart, who is the manager of satellite offices with Boys and Girls Clubs, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Edmonton. Tracy has done a little digging into volunteer trends across Canada and what they mean for mentoring agents, and we had a bit of a conversation about that. As well, this recording is part of our pre-game lead-up towards AMP Learning Day 2018. Learning Day is going to be a mini national mentoring symposium for those of you who participated in that event. We won't be having a full conference this year, and instead we're going to be trying to host smaller in-person gatherings to bring together focused individuals around a few key themes. The theme this year for the Learning Day will be about research, evaluation, and knowledge mobilization, and more speakers and details and focus will be coming. Right now we're just doing pre-registration, so I'd encourage you to visit www.albertamentors.ca/learning to learn more about the event. It's going to be May 25th, 2018. Hosted at the Faculty of Extension at the University of Alberta. We're very thankful that the Community University Partnership Cup at the University of Alberta through the Faculty Extension will be our co-host for this event. It'll be Friday, May 25th. It'll be a full day event, but we'll make sure to get you off on the roads on your way home before the weekend. So we'll schedule details will be forthcoming, as well as more registration details. If you're an AMP member, we're trying to keep the costs as low as possible for you. So to learn more, please visit www.albertamentors.ca/learning. Tracy, what did your research find with regard to volunteer trends in Canada and in Alberta?
Okay, so what I'm going to start off by talking to you about is looking at some data that came from the Canadian Survey of Volunteering and Participating, which was conducted on a sample of persons across Canada, ages 15 and older. My first data is actually not personal data, but something that we gathered from looking at different Canadian surveys. First of all, it was noted that traditional attitudes towards volunteering are in a bit of a flux. Things are up and down, things are changing. Not any different than any other aspects in our community, I'm sure. But what was interesting is that despite that belief that there has been dramatic decrease in the number of volunteers, there actually was not noted to be any dramatic increase or decrease in the number of volunteers, but there was definitely a shift in the length of volunteer commitment, with fewer and fewer of our 25 or 30 year lifer type volunteers within organizations. However, within the groups having higher rates of volunteering, people generally do dedicate fewer hours to their volunteer service. The number of volunteers in 2010 was significantly greater than in early years, actually. So we were seeing an increase in the number of volunteers, an increase of 6.4% over 2007, an increase of 12.5% over 2004. But what was noticeable is that it was the number of hours dedicated to the volunteer work that plateaued. And that was what remained essentially unchanged from what was provided in 2007. The other thing that was noted is that a small proportion of volunteers do most of the work. In fact, in 2010, 10% of the volunteers accounted for 53% of all volunteer hours given to nonprofit and charitable organizations. And the other thing that was noticeable is that our sports and recreation, as well as our social service sectors, tend to get the most support from volunteers. The other piece, most volunteers devote their energies to only one or two nonprofit or charitable associations. So they'll pick those associations that they are most familiar with or that are closest to them in terms of proximity in their area. At one time, retirees used to fill their time with volunteering. However, with increasing mobility and travel, it seems that this same demographic is spending fewer regular hours volunteering. Noticeably, age plays a factor, and in general, we're finding that younger Canadians are actually more likely to volunteer than our older Canadians. However, that being said, younger Canadians also in general devote fewer hours to their volunteer work. Youth volunteer rates are also likely influenced by the high school requirement to perform community service in order to graduate. And since youth already live busy lives, it's easy to see why their rates may be high while their average hours are generally low in terms of what they can volunteer. other demographics that came into play. Single Canadians who had never married were more likely to volunteer, whereas widows and widowers were least likely. In terms of education, people with a university education are much more likely to volunteer than those with less education. And having school-aged children in the household, while again there were more in total number of volunteers, again, these volunteers were able to provide fewer in total hours. Almost all volunteers said that making a contribution to the community was a key motivating factor in terms of where they chose to volunteer. And over 50% said that they had been personally affected by the cause the organization represented or supported. And certainly I know within our Big Brother, Big Sister and our club organizations, we find this to be true. It is our kids that were involved in clubs who will come back to volunteer. It is kids and or adults who had found themselves either as a mentee or as a mentor through other programs that are coming back to volunteer. Traditionally, volunteering has been a feel-good way to give back, but now it's actually also become a means for young people and new immigrants to gain skills for the labor market, to beef up their resumes, to provide that opportunity to learn what they do and don't like, even in terms of looking at future options. Time poverty is also a phenomenon out there that people speak about. They just don't have the same time that they did to devote to that long-term commit, to make that long-term commitment in terms of volunteering. They like to try out, they like to be involved in many different things. So when they volunteer, they also want to kind of take that same approach. I want to learn as much as I can. I want to try out a number of different things. Volunteers are looking for reciprocity in their volunteering experiences. So they're looking for that option of sort of feel good coming back. The other part that dramatically impacts the volunteer cycle is the whole process of getting engaged, that process of becoming involved. And with risk management sort of being much heavier on the minds of organizations that take in volunteers, of course, that means that the process of getting started takes a little bit longer as we go through those enrollment or screening steps that get you involved in that process as a volunteer. So moving forward, just out of interest, I took a look at or was exposed to numbers in terms of our national statistics. And these stats actually come from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Canada and look at the number of volunteers that applied and actually went through the entire enrollment process to the point of eventually being matched or engaged in one of our programs. And as you can see, between 2009 and 2012, we actually saw a little bit of a steady growth in terms of those volunteers that were applying and becoming involved in our programs. And then starting in 2012, we're starting to see that dip, that really come down across Canada in terms of the number of volunteers who are applying to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Canada or Big Brother Big Sister organizations across Canada as a whole. But what was interesting was that we were not finding that same same graph across Edmonton. When we looked at our Edmonton volunteers, we did see where we had some significant growth between 2009 and 2012. We saw a nice growth there, and I think that was largely attributed to sort of the growth in our teen mentoring programs at that time. Then what we start to see is it plateau. And so it's come down a little bit, and then it's really remained rather steady since 2013 in terms of the number of volunteers coming through our programs. And so, you know, it kind of bucks the Canadian trend a little bit and may beg the question in terms of why that would be.
So thank you for sharing that, Tracy. I found the national trends quite interesting. I guess now thinking about Alberta and thinking about mentoring agencies across Alberta, what are some of the implications and considerations that you flagged in your research?
I think that as agencies who seek out volunteers, who do volunteer recruitment, we need to think about what these trends mean, particularly some of those demographic trends, what they mean in terms of how we would target our recruitment within the communities. I think that we also have to think in terms of strategic planning as we're thinking about the numbers or growth in our programming, to what degree do we rely on volunteers for that growth? And what sorts of volunteers are available to us within our local communities? And certainly be making sure that we're aware of that as we think about program growth. There's also, I think, the impact of fundraising that we need to keep in mind as well, whether it is as a matter of using volunteers to assist us with fundraising events or in terms of the funds that we may actually be able to recruit from communities towards our programming. I think that they're all interlinked in terms of those.
I found it interesting that young people volunteer more, but volunteer fewer hours. Could you elaborate on that a little bit in your experience?
I certainly can. I think that for teen volunteers, those that are coming to us in particular, whether it's within our school-based programming, where they are matched to youth right within the school. So our teen mentors match to volunteers and or to mentees, sorry, in a elementary school, or where we have teen volunteers who might come out and volunteer in our clubs. They tend to volunteer for the school year for the most part. And so there is some sort of a enrollment process that takes them through the beginning. And exams will impact their ability to mentor throughout the school year. We see a dip of hours, certainly in January when they're into exams, and all of our teen programs typically will end by the end of May so that we can accommodate again that sort of exam time, high stress time for our teens. The other thing is that teens typically love volunteering as a way to promote their skills, to get involved in a number of different things, find where their interests lie. But they're also bombarded by a number of options out there for them. So they have school, they have volunteer options, and many of them also have part-time work. So all of this is going to factor into their ability. So it's about trying to, when we're working with teens, keeping all of that in mind, finding ways to keep them engaged and enthused about the particular project that they're working on.
I think you mentioned the point about the benefits to the mentor, and I think that's very much worth highlighting, that for many of our volunteers, they're looking for to improve their soft skills, to be employer ready. And I think employers want to see on the resume that somebody has not just the academic qualifications, but they also have that je ne sais quoi that you can get from mentoring, from doing the actual human relationship work. So I think for many of our mentoring agencies, as they're thinking about recruiting, they need to focus just as much on the need, but they need to focus just as much on the benefit to the volunteer too. And I saw that you flagged that.
Absolutely. And we also know that teens, just not having the same life experience as our adults, they might require more support as well as they're going through that mentoring relationship. And I think it's really important as agencies that we keep that in mind in terms of them having that successful experience, that we might need to actually offer them a little bit more in terms of that ongoing support as they're going through some of those relationship pieces. So it might be a little bit more work with when you're working with teen mentors. You're putting more work in up front and you're putting some additional supports throughout. But you also find that those are the youth that as they're going through their university years or even once they graduate, those are the ones that will actually come back to the organization where they felt that connection. So it's well worth the investment.
In your research, did you notice a trend or a difference in trend between metropolitan areas and rural and remote areas? Or was that disaggregated in any way?
Not disaggregated greatly, but I can let you know just from my work with sort of our more rural areas that finding volunteers in our rural areas is definitely always our struggle. Most times, adults are traveling for work, so they're not necessarily working in that small community. Their commute time is longer, and so finding that opportunity to volunteer is a little bit more difficult. They also, you have a smaller number of, your pool for volunteers is smaller, and your need is just as great. So we will find that a lot of our volunteers in our rural communities are already greatly engaged in the sports and recreation. They're engaged as coaches. They're involved in rotaries or, kinsmen, other areas where they are giving back to the community. And so while they are more than happy to support us, in terms of that episodic, it is a lot harder to get their commitment in terms of the long-term mentor role. We also see in our rural communities that that is far more where we have greater success with teen mentoring and providing that support. Schools are seeking opportunities for their elementary students to actually have that influence from an older caring person. And teens fit the bill, especially with that additional support. So it's a win-win situation for our rural communities because the mentees are getting some additional support from teens coming in to help them, whether it's academically or socially. And the teens are also getting that additional support from our facilitator in terms of the relationship building, the capacity, the leadership, those other pieces that are linked to volunteering.
Another point in your presentation I found fascinating was the 80-20 rule, that 20% of our volunteers donate the 80% of the hours. I think this stat you actually used was 10% of our volunteers donate 53%. So a small amount donate over half of our over our contributions. And so to me, that made me think about a lot in terms of volunteer appreciation, ensuring that there's new challenges provided, that we can rotate volunteers through different aspects of our organization, be it through boards or programs or others, to make sure that they remain engaged in many ways. I found that stat, it seems true, but it still seemed a little bit shocking when I heard it. What were your thoughts?
For me, it fits sort of the general, whenever we think, even in terms of, you always hear that 80-20 sort of rule, I think you'll get those ones that are very committed. It fits for them. It fits a need. It fits an interest. Or perhaps it was just in terms of who they were matched with and how that relationship continued. And so for those, we will sometimes see that they stay committed and involved, and they also sort of bring along the mentee that they were involved with or the family and become very supportive. I think that being able to keep your volunteers engaged, as you mentioned, finding different ways for them to feel committed or involved in the agency. So not only just as a mentor, but maybe giving them some opportunity to assist with recruitment, giving them some additional roles in terms of some of the community events or activities that you do, so that their role remains prevalent, that they feel extremely appreciated and valued by the agency, is really important.
Well, thank you for sharing, Tracy. I was wondering, what was the genesis of this question about volunteer trends? Were you curious, or did it come from the agency or from your work, or is this something we do annually?
Something that we look at annually actually is our volunteer trends. So as an agency, we are always looking to see where our volunteers are coming from, how we can make sure that we are retaining our volunteers and appreciating them. It's a question that many circles actually speak to. And certainly even in terms of the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, some of the research and pieces that they put out sparks that. So you're always looking for different information around that and making sure that we are following trends that exist not only within Alberta, but more specifically within the Edmonton area.
Tracy is also a volunteer on the Alberta Mentoring Partnership Research, Evaluation, and Knowledge Mobilization Committee, and one of the individuals who's helping us plan our upcoming Learning Day on May 25th. So there'll be more details about that, www.albertamentors.ca/learning. Tracy, certainly this must make you think about the importance of collecting good data in our self-evaluations.
Absolutely. I think we're always looking for ways to improve our data collection through the agency. We're always trying to enhance without sending out too many surveys. People get kind of tired of surveys, but looking for that information in-house. And so, a database that can help support that is key.
And what I read here, even a small mentoring agency that doesn't have the structure or support of a Boys and Girls Club or Big Brothers Big Sisters, even just tracking some of these annual pieces around volunteers and engagement, a very simple spreadsheet or Word document can 5 years later, you might be thanking yourself for doing that.
Absolutely. I think being able to look at trends, and that's I think for certainly for Edmonton, one of the benefits we have is that we have that history from those Word documents and Excel spreadsheets before we ever got into the database.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be super complicated. You don't need to get a PeopleSoft site license to get this going. So one other piece, in 2016, the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, through the Research Evaluation Committee that Tracy was a part of, commissioned the Population Lab Research Report with the University of Alberta. And through PolicyWise and the University of Alberta, a comprehensive call was done out across Alberta to Albertans to ask them about mentoring and their trends. And it's quite interesting to note, building on top of Tracy's research here, that one-third of surveyed Alberta adults reported mentoring youth in 2016. The majority of them did so informally, not within a structured mentoring program, but women and individuals born in Alberta were more likely to be members. So an interesting desegregation there too. Over half of surveyed Alberta adults were mentored as youth, once again, mostly informally. So it reminds me that sometimes our best source of future mentors are the current mentors that we're working with right now. The impact of mentorship on youth resiliency outcomes was rated very high across individuals who were mentored as youth, so that they talked about many positive life changes coming from their mentoring experience. About half of surveyed Alberta adults reported at one point wanting a mentor themselves during their youth, but not having one available. So we know that there's still a great need out there of young people who need a mentor, based on the reported results of current Alberta adults. And this is heightened in areas of low income or low education individuals, where they reported lacking having a mentor and wanting one, and also those currently unemployed or born outside of Canada at the time of the survey also wanted a mentor as well. So I encourage you to visit albertamentors.ca and visit our website. Just type in a search for Population Lab Research, and you can read all of the survey findings yourself. It's quite comprehensive, and I think, like the research that Tracy shared with us today, it can help you think about how you need to tweak your recruitment efforts, your volunteer appreciation efforts, your volunteer engagement programs, and even to some extent the kinds of programs that you offer through your mentoring program, whether you go group or individual or what. So Tracy, did you have anything else you wanted to add to the Population Lab report either? Was there anything that leapt out at you?
I think even just the comment that you made there in terms of that informal mentoring piece, being aware of who those people are in your community, because they'll often be the ones that will be able to provide you with the links that you need to get something going within your own community. They are your go-to people. They're your knowledge people. And so building those relationships, even if they're not going to be the mentor with you, they may be the community network piece that you need in terms of your local community. So going to those particular individuals is also very helpful.